from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And welcome to our special guest, Yvonne Sneeden. Did I say that right, Yvonne?
It was perfect. Really perfect, Eric. Yes, I'm glad to be here with you.
It is great to have you. I love your accent. Tell us where you're from.
My accent is actually, I'm French. My first language is French. I grew up in Belgium, in the city of Brussels, which Belgium, for people that don't wonder where it is, it's the country between France and Germany. And it's a trilingual country, and I speak, I'm from the French portion of the country. There, you have three languages, French, Dutch, and German, and I'm on the French side.
And somehow you learned English too. Good job.
Yeah. Yes, at 16, I took it in high school, and then later on in college.
How long have you lived in this country?
Since 2001.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners so they can just know who Yvonne is a little bit?
No, of course. So I moved to the U.S. in 2001. I have a daughter. She's 28, and she is a wonderful psychotherapist. She's the joy of my life. I work in IT right now in one of the largest IT companies in the U.S. or in the world. It's an amazing, very human, very loving company. I mean, I'm feeling very blessed to be working there. And also, I am the co-producer of a documentary called Back from the Light, which focus on people that had near-death experiences and specifically the after effects, how they feel and how they live on Earth after such an experience.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about that before we get into your near-death experience?
Yes.
And that is, tell me why you think it's often difficult for people after they've had an NDE to go back to a regular life.
Well, I often give this picture. So everyone was living their life here on Earth. And then when we die and we go to the other world, it's as if we were waking up from a dream, and the dream is Earth, and all our concept of reality is much heightened in that other world. And it's so fantastic and filled with love and no stress, no hate, no anger, nothing, just love and beautiful kindness. And then people come back here in this world that has so many challenges. I'm always giving the picture, for example, if we live in a jungle or in a swamp. I mean, I'm sorry to say that way, but there's a lot of challenge on Earth every day. And then you don't realize it because you were born in it. And then suddenly you're moving to the best place in pristine and the sun is shining. There's nothing. It's beautiful mountains and lake. And then suddenly you're forced to go back to that jungle. Now, before you didn't know you were in the jungle, but now you know you are in the jungle because now you have a point of comparison, which is that amazing place. And it creates a lot of depression on people because they don't want to be here. They want to be back. And they also have felt who they really were, who we really are outside our body here and outside our life here. And now coming back, it almost feels like you have to do a new play. You're playing. You're not real because you know who you are in the other world. So it's very difficult for some people coming. And then also there's a lot of side effects for people when people come back, a lot of them change their way of eating. The diet style is different, more holistic. Spiritually, people are changed, whether they have regardless of which religion or spirituality that they are actually embracing before, they become more universally spiritual. love as well, because you've been really bathed in love. So you have a lot of empathy and compassion. And when you come back here, you soak all the pain of people. And so you have to kind of learn to just protect yourself.
Right.
There's so many, many, there's a long list. Ions actually has made some studies about that. There's a long list of after effects. And we approached that in the documentary. We went to film people in their home and talk to their family as well, because the families also are affected by that change.
Well, and if I can add to that, some people tell me they really miss it. So that's another emotion to deal with. And then you mentioned how people are changed, and some people have what I like to refer to as spiritual gifts. In other words, some become mediums because of it. They are relating to spirits or hearing or seeing or all kinds of other things, or all kinds of very intuitiveness that they didn't have before. And some of those are great and people go, oh yeah, I like this. But for some other people, it's more like, I can't turn it off. And I wish I could. It's a little bit overwhelming.
You're right. My sister also had a near-death experience in Brussels, actually. And after, when she came back, she said she couldn't go back to work for a few months. And she said she couldn't even go out, because walking in the street, she could feel every emotions of people, which can be overwhelming when it's depression, despair. And she had a hard time on that one as well.
We had one of my favorite interviews is, and maybe I'll stick this in the show notes. We had somebody on a year or so ago who lives in England. And when she came back, she could hear the thoughts of animals.
That's amazing.
All animals.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And it was great. And it was also very difficult. Like, she can't go to a zoo because it's way too much, but she can be in a park and a dog will come up to her. And all of a sudden she's hearing, oh, I don't like the food this guy is feeding me, and this leash is too tight, or, you know, whatever it is. Anyway, so there are all kinds of things that happen, and I find it just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And I see you have a beautiful cat back there behind you.
Yes, this is Maddie. Maddie was my daughter's cat, and she moved out. And her fiancé has a dog. And so I kept the cat because Maddie likes to be on her own.
All of our animals have come from kids moving out and
oh, yeah, you too.
leaving them behind. I can relate.
That's exactly my story.
Okay. I want to jump into your NDEs. In fact, you had two of them. And we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to start with the second one. Okay. If that's okay with you. So how many years ago was this, and what was going on with your health that led up to this experience?
So my near-death experience happened in 2008, as I had moved to the U.S. And working hard for making a living for my daughter and myself. I was divorced very, very quickly after I moved to the U.S. And so I had to make a living, and I worked, overworked, I guess, and because I had to rebuild my life and my daughter's life and make sure she had the same opportunities as everyone else. The two things were happening at the same time. I felt in my heart that I was at the end of my life on earth. It's very, very unique. I've had it only once in my life. I felt that the energy of my life was running out. Just like you see those ads on battery on television with that rabbit. I don't want to say the name, but
that's okay.
Is moving with, and then the battery starts to slow, and that rabbit slow, and then it's over. So I really, really felt that the battery of my life was done, and I knew I was going to die. And then even I called my sister in Brussels and I said, Mimi, I think I'm going to die, but don't worry, I'm okay. I'm okay. And she was like, what? No, you're not okay. And she was so worried. At the same time of that, I was developing arrhythmia. I didn't know yet because that it was arrhythmia. I went to the cardiologist. My heart was racing uncontrollably. oftentimes in the evening when I was laying. And I went to the cardiologist and he said that I was developing arrhythmia. He gave me some medication to take whenever I had a crisis or an episode, which instead, I often say that I had an accidental overdose because instead of waiting for the attack, it was so scary. I don't know if anyone has had that, but it's really, your heart is racing and there's nothing you can do. You can try to calm, it's not calming. So I was so afraid to have another crisis that I took the medication just to make sure I wouldn't, but that's not the thing to do when your heart is beating normally that day. So that's why I said I had those two events happening at the same time, feeling that it was the end of my life, the cardiologist giving me those medication. Because I knew I was going to die, I was putting the best, you know, nightgowns or pyjama. And during the day, I was rule all every day.
So if the ambulance came, you were going to look beautiful. Good job.
I was presentable. You know, I was thinking, you know, you think of all kinds of things when you know you are going to die that you don't think of when. So, and then my sister was worried, but I was in total peace. And it doesn't make sense because my daughter was with me. So it's almost like heaven or the other side or the other world had already given me that peace for the journey I was going to take.
So you took this medication, accidentally overdosed. Was there a point where your heart stopped? The paramedics came. Give us a quick on that point, and then let's jump into what happened.
So for my heart stopped. I didn't have the paramedic coming. As you know, I had two near-death experience, and each time with the medication. And later on, I knew I had gone and I was dead. That was for sure. But then I went to the anesthetist at Duke Hospital, told me that medication was creating two different side effects. The first one was sleep apnea, which was my first NDE, and the second one, heart stop, which was my second. And she said to me that I was very fortunate that I was still alive, but because she knew that the dosage and my heart state, I could have just not come back. And then I was very fortunate.
Right. So your heart actually stopped.
Yes.
And what do you remember happening to you at that point?
So here I am, not realizing, because it's my second NDE, I didn't realize that medication was creating that stops. So I'm here in the afternoon reading on the sofa. I had taken the medication, and then out of a sudden, I feel my organs shutting down, and I'm instantly in God's light, in the light or in Creator's light. The shift was instant. I was just instantly in God's light. I was I was a spirit or a soul that had no memory of earth. I was just basking in God's light or in Creator's light, however you like, or people that listen are comfortable with, or Creator, light, Father, whatever.
I'd rather you put it in your words.
Okay.
However you feel, whether that's God, Creator, Source, whatever, you use your words.
So usually I say God because most people can relate to that word when we say God, because it's been such a familiar word. So I'll just keep God. And so here I am in God's light. I'm basking. I'm that spirit that has absolutely no fear, no negativity, negative emotion, no stress. I'm just basking, completely at peace, completely joyful. I am experiencing the highest level of happiness and joy that exists in the entire cosmos existence, in the existence itself. I'm feeling totally at the peak of joy, of bliss. I don't know how you can call it, the bliss of God. And I'm just there, just that pure soul. It's just phenomenal. We're emerging with that love and that kind light. And I'm just there basking. No more negativity, no more doubt, no more nothing. And as I'm basking in that light, I see coming in front of me, I see a being, a translucent being. And it actually has like a circular face and two legs, two arms, a body, but it's all translucent. And I cannot make the feature. It's pure light. And that being is brighter than the light I'm in. It's coming towards me in a way hovering in a very graceful and loving and peaceful and elegant way. It just moves above me, like above, and comes above me, whirling above me like that, and looking at my being with the most amazing love and pride and amazement. And that being is looking at me and kissing my whole face like a mother is kissing her newborn baby. That's the feeling I have as that being is doing that. And then at some point, that being engulfs me completely in its embrace. I am completely feeling whole and happy and loving. And when that being embraces me, I am downloaded by God. I'm downloaded. It's not my own thoughts. It's really downloaded in my mind. This is Jesus. When it said to me, this is Jesus, I start to feel all the emotion of unconditional love. I feel his compassion, but I feel his tenderness, the tenderness, the love, the affection. And as I am in its arms, I will say its arms because the feeling I had when I was in Jesus' embrace was the feeling of a mother and a father in love, in one unit. Jesus was both in one unit. It was both energy, the energy of the ideal mother and the ideal father in one single unit. It was not genderless. It was all in one, which makes sense because on earth we have the, you know, male and female energy. And it makes sense that in God's light, we feel both in one because it's reunited. I almost sometimes think that the two energy were separated on earth. So for us to learn to learn from each other and to learn to blend and understand each other and be harmonious in our relationships, that's how I felt. And when I was in Jesus' embrace, I felt like a child, like a 4 years old child in his ideal parent's embrace or in her ideal embrace of the ideal parents. I felt I was engulfed in that love and that nothing in the universe could happen to me. Nothing could ever happen because I was so safe. And while I was in that embrace, I could feel the entire galaxies, universe, worlds behind. It was phenomenal. I was home.
Wow. Wow, wow. I want to unpack a little bit of this. I find that very interesting that you felt, correct me if I'm wrong here, from Jesus and his embrace, you felt male and female presence. And you made the distinction, not genderless though, but both male and female.
Correct.
And is that because it felt like a parent? You felt like a child. So did you feel like this was parents in a way?
Absolutely. I felt the love of the ideal parents. It was actually, I felt this love, and I have not been raised with my parents. So I think that's why maybe the emotion was heightened. And it was really my ideal parents. Usually I even say that when I'm interviewed, so perfect. It was really that feeling of love, unconditional love of the parents, like you belong to us, you are ours, you are part of us, we're taking care of you.
That is so great. And just feeling safe. How else could you describe that feeling of love? Have you ever experienced anything like it here, by the way?
Well, here I did experience that that feeling from somebody else, that same feeling of ideal parents. As you know, I wasn't raised with my parents. I was raised in an old girl, a strict, very strict Catholic boarding school in Brussels. So here, with what I could feel when I raised my daughter, I could feel, oh, that's how it feels to be unconditionally loved. And I was experiencing, as I was raising my daughter, I was experiencing for the first time all the emotion that I, what I should have felt if a mother had loved me or if a parent had loved me. I say, oh, that's how it feels when she was embracing me or loving me or holding me and I was holding her. I say, oh, yeah, that's what it is. It was a beautiful journey of discovering something I had never experienced all my life through my daughter's love.
Yeah, you probably didn't expect anything like that either. Did you even know that could exist?
No, I wasn't expecting. You know, I grew up, I had in the past in Europe, I've been in my faith in very deeply. So I was very engaged and I had a lot of loving friends and family for many years in that field, but not the parent-daughter feeling. I had never felt it. It was all new. It was a discovery. For anything, for example, if my daughter was sick and I was holding her the whole night in my arms to make sure she was safe, I had never had that. If I was sick in a boarding school, it was a very nice private boarding school. It's not that I was orphaned. My parents were well off, but they didn't have time for my two sisters and I, so they just parked us there. We were the only three girls that were staying for the holidays, for vacation and everything, and they were paying double. But so the only thing I would get is the nun giving me a medication and just staying in your bed and recovering on your own. But just the fact of holding my daughter and making sure she's okay, I never had that. And so every details, but it was a beautiful journey because I could love her the way I had not been loved. And it was just beautiful.
That is beautiful. Okay, what happened next?
So next, I am in that embrace. I'm actually cuddled in Christ's arms, and I'm loved completely, feeling home. But then, you know, when you are in the other world, your senses are heightened. It's 100%. You know everything, and you have knowings in that world. People don't have to tell you what's going to happen. I had a knowing that at some point of my moment with Christ, I would have to come back to earth. I just had a knowing. So as I am embraced and I'm filled with love and showered with unconditional love, I feel that, you have to come back. And so I asked Jesus, if you send me back to earth, what do I have to do with, and I'm sorry if somebody's called Steve, what do I have to do with Steve? Because after my divorce, I was dating again, and it wasn't working well. And then I will call that person Steve. That's not a real name. And it wasn't working again well. And so in my faith that I had before my NDE, we were always asking the will of God. Is it your will? Is it your not will? Is it your will? Whenever you were meeting somebody, is it your will? Is he sent by you or not sent by you? And then you stress yourself out forever while God is probably saying, just go with your heart. And so when I was there, I asked Jesus, if you send me to earth, what do I have to do with Steve? Because I was still in that mindset of, you know, is it your will of God? And when I asked Jesus that, he shifted in the air in that light. He shifted in the air, took a more holographic countenance where I could start to see his features, his eyes and nose, because at first I couldn't, it was just light. And then I started to see his robe. And he actually opened in, we are still in God's light. Jesus is brighter than the light. And then he opened a screen that appear, that's also bright, a big screen. And, you know, I had to ask him, what do I have to do with Steve? So he opened that screen and there were two square under each other. And one was a yes and a no, you know, like on those forms.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was just standing next to, and he ticked the no.
Wow.
And then he says, you have to say no, no to the relationship. But while he was saying that to me, because in that world, everything happens simultaneously. You can have 10 things.
Sure.
He can tell me 10 things at the same time and I understand them all. So while he was telling me that, he was showing me that he loved Steve, the same level of love as me, because love was there for everyone. Love was all love. And so there is no judgment, but he said, you have to say no. And then to make sure, he said, you have to say no. He said, it's a ticking and him saying, you have to say no. So it was like a double confirmation for make sure I wasn't going back.
Yeah, you heard it and saw it both.
Yeah, yes. And then I said, but why is Steve always so mean with his word when we have a conflict? Why is he so mean to me? When I said that Jesus came down from that screen, the screen disappeared. He put himself in front of me, but a little bit further than me. And he looked at me very neutral. There was no judgment, no condemnation. He was very neutral, just like when you Google a question, up the answer come. Well, when I was asking that, that's how he was. There was no judgment for Steve or me. And he said, it's because Steve has decided to experience his life on earth through his mind primarily. You have decided to experience your life on earth through your heart primarily. The two, he meant that the two would clash because, for example, if we are in a conflict, Steve will just tell me everything he wants just to hurt me because he's angry, because he uses mind. Right. And I would just say, I can't go that far. I cannot tell him that because it's going to hurt his feelings. You see, so that was the two. And it wasn't because I wasn't so much better because I was going through my heart. It was just two different approaches that wouldn't match together. You know, sometimes we always say, oh, opposite attracts. Jesus said that it might not be the best. We all think of that, but we have to find some commonality and some harmony when we are together with somebody.
I like the whole checkbox thing. That's unusual. Quick break with a shout out to our sponsor, Smart Labels. If you're into spring cleaning mode, it's time to get organized. Your future self is going to love you for it. Here's how it works. Buy the QR code Smart Labels on Amazon and stick them on your storage bins. Download their app, then scan the QR code and catalog all the stuff going into the bin with a name, description, and even a picture if you want. Down the road, when you're looking for that thing that you know you stored somewhere, you can just search in the app and it'll tell you where you put it. It's organizing magic. Get organized, get on over to Amazon and get your Smart Labels pack today. Now, back to the interview. So was that the end of it or was there more?
No, there were more. So after that moment, there are a few questions asked, and of course, the listener don't see my face, but I am a mixed person. I have three races in me, so I have a tan. So I did ask Jesus, because you have to know that at that moment, I wasn't at all attached to Earth. Earth for me was a distant planet, and I had no emotion. And I asked Jesus, why is there racism on that planet, on Earth? You know, I couldn't understand that. And of course, that's what I had decided to come and experience on Earth somehow with my skin color. I said, why are people racist? And it was not like I was hurt or anything. I was totally detached. It's just asking something from another planet. I would have asked something from Venus, for example. And then he said something that I would never have thought. He said, it's because of their self-centeredness. And I said, because I would have thought upbringing, geographic location, culture, country, trauma from one of a race that have been traumatized for something, but not self-centeredness. And so actually what he meant when he was explaining, because it's all, of course, everything is from thought to thought. It's not verbally spoken. We talk, it's from heart to heart. Mm-hmm. He meant that most of us, regardless of the race, I mean, I was raised, I have traveled the whole world. I've been in all the continents except Australia. And I've seen racism in all the directions. And so I'm not talking about a specific race when I say that. He explained that when racism is birthed in self-centeredness, in the sense that we want to be surrounded with people that are like-minded, that look like us, that do things like us, that have the same type of upbringing. So when you want to keep the same race around you, it's because you want a reminder of who you are. You know, you want a reminder of the same color that you are you. Everything has to remind, you are the point of comparison.
Yeah, but people here don't have that choice. Is that a choice we made before we came here?
What choice? What do you mean?
Of being around people of the same race.
No, you don't. We don't have that choice. We don't have the choice. But it's, you know, you can actually be with the people with the same race and not have that racism in you.
Sure.
It's only for people. This is an answering a question on people that are racist. You know, I grew up in a country which was 95% white, even more growing up, and I've hardly experienced any racism. So it's not a question of, I think, the environment. It's a question of heart, how much in our heart we are open to accept difference in our life, something that's different than us, than who we are.
So what was your next question?
They're more private questions, those ones that I ask for my life, but maybe another time.
Okay, fair enough. All right, what happened after that?
So after that, after asking those questions, Jesus came back to my left. From standing there, he just shifted to my left here, and we proceeded outside of the light. When Jesus was to my left, he actually took more of a more physical form. So I could now see that he had a robe on. I could see he was still holographic, but more solid. And Jesus has changed his, you know, because initially we are light and we can change forms. And here Jesus changed form like 4 times during my NDE, according to what he was giving me. So to my left, he was there. And then we were both progressing towards outside the light. And ahead of me, I saw a crystal city, a celestial city, a crystal city. It was magnificent. It had huge, tall crystal buildings. It had just a fantastic blue sky, but there was no sun. I couldn't see any sun around. It was wide avenue. Everything was shining of light and glory. It was just the most amazing. And I felt so excited because I felt like I was going home. I knew that was my home. And I was just, you know, like when you rush, you're so happy. Oh, it's home. And I was just trying to rush to go home. I was so happy. So finally home. You know, it's like when you are going on vacation and you have the sunshine, everything is fantastic, not a worry in the world, and you're happy. I was just feeling that happiness as I was walking towards that crystal city, and Jesus was on my side. And then suddenly I felt like some people were walking towards my right, you know, like when you walk in a street and then suddenly you feel some people are. So I felt that. I feel like people are going to walk towards that same place. I feel people are coming. So I turn around to look who it was, and I see a dozen of children angels, like they must have been 9 or 10 years old, also circular face, a white robe of light, walking towards that celestial city. And they were so excited. I have to say that the vibration in that world is absolutely amplified. It's nothing like here. Oftentimes in any religion that we are belonging to, we always have to be super quiet. And not when we go to the, you know, to the building, or everybody's speaking like that. But I can tell you that in heaven or in that life, it's actually joy. And it's very, all the emotions are extremely heightened. And so those angels are also excited. And there's that feeling of excitement, of joy, of purpose. And they're all walking also towards that crystal city. At some point, one of them looked. And then he thought, okay, it's Yvonne, it's not a big deal. She said, no, it's not a big deal, it's Yvonne. It just looked at me. But then that child angel looked at Jesus next to me. And when he does, his face shone like light. It became pure light of excitement, of joy, of happiness. And when his face becomes shining like that, the other children angels are looking, and they saw Jesus, and they all ran into Jesus' arms, all of them. And you can say, well, how is that possible? But in that world, everything is energy. And Jesus was holding each of them individually while holding them together. And they were so happy. There was so much joy. They were so happy to see Jesus. At some point, after he embraced them with all inclusivity and kindness and love and gentleness, he said to the angel, to the children angels, this is Yvonne's moment. Go back to your, I'm going to say it, go back to your mothers. He said that. And then when I look, I mean, when I looked what he meant by the mothers, because in my faith there's no mothers, and some people have even said, it's not biblical because there will be no women or men in heaven. But I mean, for anyone listening, I cannot change my experience to fit a doctrine, so I'm just going to share
sure.
my own experience. So when I looked back, I saw a dozen of female angels, and they were probably like 14 or 15 feet high, amazing, beautiful beyond in the purity, but not beautiful in a, it's in a very pure beauty, like heavenly beauty, purity of heaven, angelic beauty. And they were just all of them there with hair, long hair to the knees. They were just looking at me. They had that light that was emanated out of them as well. And they were looking at me with a lot of reverence and a lot of respect. And they just looked at me, and telepathically they said to me, and remember, I had a very bad life with my parents, and a difficult life, childhood, horrible childhood. So they said to me, and then everything I had experienced being in the U.S., and they said to me, Yvonne, always with that sacredness and that purity of, that's the feeling that you can only find in that world. They said, and kindness, they said, Yvonne, we will never harm you. We will never hurt you, because this is home. You're one of us. And I say that. When they said that, I was like, I said to Jesus, Jesus, I don't want to go back to earth. I want to stay here. This is home. I don't want to go back. And I said, that planet Earth is a very violent planet. I said, I can't relate to that world. Many people are selfish. I did say that you can say things like that in that other world. You can say your truth. Many people are selfish. They could care less about anybody else. And I just can't, I can't connect with that world. I can't relate. I want to stay home. I want to stay here. I could feel that that was not an option. So I said, anyway, I said, when you look at my body on earth, it's broken beyond repair. I don't want to go back in that body. It's broken beyond repair. I can't go back. I was trying everything I could, but it wasn't working. And Jesus was looking at me with tremendous love, but like, you know, there's nothing I can do. You have to do that. Almost like you had signed up for that. Yeah. You'll gain so many benefit of doing that.
And you know you need to go back. Let's just deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. But with a lot of kindness and respect, and there's very delicate in that world, people are very delicate not to hurt any feelings. And when I said that, I said, I'm not going back. I'm home. I'm here to stay. When I said that, so he shifted in the air, became half a mile high. We shifted from the light as space feeling to a space that was a black velvety space, which is not scary at all. It's very peaceful, but it's a black velvety space. It's almost like imagine the universe without stars. We were just basking there, and we shifted in that space, and Jesus expanded like half a mile high. He was that huge hologram now, made of beams of light, and he looked at me. And I can still see his eyes looking at me. And as I share with you, he looked at me. He said, Yvonne, I will give you my strength, give you my power. I'll give you my energy of life. I forgot to say that before that event, when I said, I don't want to come back to Earth, I said to Jesus, if you send me back, because it wasn't working what I was trying. If you send me back, I will be beyond exhaustion. I can do it. And that's when Jesus shifted in the air. Because you have to know that since I've been alone in my life, my parents never came back. So I'm a self-made person. So I said, I just don't want that life. And so that's when he shifted in the air. And he had to give me the energy of life because I was beyond exhaustion. I couldn't go back. So he shifted in the air, he expanded, and then he said, Yvonne, I'll give you my strength, I'll give you my power, I'll give you my energy of light. And then he said, lift your hand, my spirit hand. And he put his finger on mine. And even though he was half a mile, I could feel his finger because it's all energy. It's all energy. And when he did that, I had a flood of a waterfall, or you know, imagine a waterfall that came of sparkling goldish white energy that actually filled my entire spiritual and being and body being. When he did that, I could feel that energy of life that was giving life to every bone I had, every muscle, every nerve, each cell of my body. I could feel every single cell of my body being regenerated by that energy of life that I needed to come back.
So was there a point where you remember coming back into your body specifically?
Yes, because when Jesus came back from that moment of feeling me, he came back in front and he said to me, and that was the last part of my experience, he said to me, Yvonne, when he came back, he shrinked back to his form that he had, and he became again that physical being. And he said to me, Yvonne, I love everyone. I love humanity. I love everything and everyone. I love my babies, he said that. And I thought, well, you're Jesus. You came to Earth to show us God's love. That was your mission. You wanted to show us unconditional love through God's love. And I was thinking that, and it's normal that you love everyone. And he said to me, I'll show you how I love. I show you. And when he said that, he took my heart for people to understand. He took my heart and blended it with his. So it is more like he took my essence, the essence of who Yvonne is, as a spirit, as a being, and he blended my essence with his essence, and we became one. And I say that for people that have a Christian background, there's a scripture that's where Jesus says to God, let there be one like you and I are one. And I was feeling that oneness at that moment. It was the oneness that we all are one. We all are one because we're all made of the same one light, the light, the God's light. We're all made of that same light. We all initially are one. And he said, and I felt that oneness. And because whenever Jesus wanted me to feel that oneness, because at that moment, when we merged together as one being, we were one being, I could feel every second, every instant, every emotion that Christ had that was waves, billions of waves of unconditional love, of kindness, of goodness, of tenderness, of joy. There was forgiveness. There was not even forgiveness, because forgiveness in that world meant that we had done something wrong. But there was not even that there. It was like just the acceptance, the celebration. We were all one, the joy. And that's the moment that's extremely hard for me to express in human words, because it's so pale. Even the whole experience is so pale when I explain it. But that one is extremely hard to explain, because I felt billions of explosion of celebration for not only for being human beings, but for all planets, all cosmos, all existence, all every being that exists everywhere. There was just and everything, every animal, everything that exists, nature. There was like that explosion of universal love, and I could experience that. After that incredible, and I'm doing such a poor job of expressing that moment, but...
No, you're doing a great job. I know we don't have the words to do all of it, but go ahead and finish.
Thank you. And that's when, after that moment, we demerged. For people to understand, in that world, we can merge with one another like that, like I merged with Jesus. For example, Eric, if I meet you in that world, in the light, world of light... And I ask you, well, how was your life on earth? And then I can ask, would you give me permission to merge with you? And if you do, I can become you, so I can experience every single emotion of your entire life on earth. You know, here on earth, we can share our story, our childhood, but we miss so many elements because we only talk about memories. And we can only share that as that much. We cannot share every single moment of our life. But in that world, we have actually, we can merge and become the other person, because then we have the whole life as if we had lived that life. And then we can demerge and we can understand each other better. It's a great thing. And so when we demerged, I knew 100% that it was time for me to come back. Jesus backed off like that a little bit, and he told me, that's over, you go back to earth. Like, there was no longer, please, can I stay? I knew that I couldn't plead anything.
Yeah, and you felt a separation of some sort.
I felt a separation, and I felt coming back through dimensions and then slipping back into my body from my head, like an envelope, like a letter come back in an envelope, and I felt that.
Okay, I need to take a breath. That's a lot. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing all of that. I have one question, and then we're going to move on. We're going to get into your first NDE. My question is, you had mentioned a while ago about being able to see more clearly his robe and his features. Can you describe those at all?
Yes. So Jesus changed shape, because, you know, he was first a being of light. So it was, the first one was light, as I said, just a circle with the arms and the legs were more like a, you know, flame of fire, but it's light. I didn't see hands and everything. It was just two flames of fire. You know, when you look at the flames of fire, it just ends like into a peak like that. So when he moved first, that's how he was, and the legs were like that as well. And then when he was standing for the form, yes or no, there he had, he was no longer translucent. It was a robe made of light. He was made of light. So his face I could tell the feature and little hair coming there, but it was still all light. It was all white of light. I could make feature, nose, mouth, eyes, but he was still a being of light. When we came out of the light to go towards the crystal city, and he came to my left, and he was more physical. So he had a robe, a white robe. But Jesus can appear, because he's light, he can appear differently. But for me, he had a robe. He was about 6 foot, 5'10", between 5'10 and 6. He had dark brownish hair like that, here up to here. And that's all I could see. And then I could see his face was more human, just more like imagine the Jesus that you imagine. That's how he looked like at that moment. So when I said I didn't want to go to Earth and he shifted in the air and became, he was a huge hologram, then I couldn't see his robe. It was more like light. I could just make his face, which was, again, that brownish hair, but he had those eyes that were very piercing. For me, I know that other people have seen Jesus differently because Jesus is light. He can appear the way, but for me, he had green eyes, and he was just looking at me deeply with those eyes. And the robe, he had his robe, but it was just, his robe was always light, made of light. And everyone in heaven had those long white robe. Every being in the world I was were emanating light from inside out. It's like the inside of their body is not made of bones and blood like we have on Earth. It's made of light. So that's why the body emanates light all over around them. And Jesus had that same thing. So even though he had a robe, the robe emanated light.
It makes sense. I mean, he's called the light of the world.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. I mentioned earlier that you had two NDEs. We started with your second one. We are going to split this up, and we're going to do a bonus episode that will come out later this week that is dealing with your first NDE. And one of the reasons we're going to do it this way, as our regular listeners know, a while back we asked, do you want us to stick on our very tight niche of classic NDEs only, or also get into things that are other related kind of experiences, which is a part of what Ian's studies as well. So I'll let our listeners know up front, our bonus episode that's going to be coming out with your first NDE is a little bit more out there into these other related type experiences. A word that comes up, I don't really love it, but it comes up all the time, is woo-woo. If you want to call it woo-woo, you can. I don't mean that as any kind of a judgment call on this, but it's going to be super interesting. And so I invite everybody to come back for the bonus episode. And you can stick around with me for a few minutes now so we can get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. I'll be happy. And it's very unusual. I'm just warning people.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.